My mother grew up on a farm, and she never really left, at least not in her heart. In fact, she is now laid to rest on a small hill overlooking the farm on which she grew up. It was a small family farm that her father eventually sold and is no longer in the family, but it always remained holy ground for my mother, the site of so many fond childhood memories. When my sister and I were growing up, my mother would regale us with stories of her childhood on the farm, how she had eggs and bacon, fresh eggs and fresh bacon for breakfast every morning, the time that her father caught her smoking behind the outhouse, learning to drive the old Jeep through the fields. Our favorite story she would tell was of the bull. You see, the family had one bull that was housed in the barn, and he was a mean son of a gun. Mom was told in no uncertain terms to never go near that bull for her own safety. Of course, that's one of the worst things that you can tell an already curious child. So when the time came for my grandfather and a few helping hands from other neighboring farms to put the ring in the bull's nose, my mother couldn't help herself. She stealthily climbed the ladder to the loft and hid behind a few hay bales so that she could see the proceedings. She was fascinated by the whole process and the way the bull snorted and kicked. It only fueled the feeling of excitement that rose in her belly. After the deed was done and my grandfather and the other men left the barn, my mother snuck down to see the bull and the new shiny ring in its nose. As she neared the bull, he bucked and started towards her. So she turned on her heels and ran as fast as she possibly could toward the farmhouse. As she ran, she heard footfalls behind her, and it sounded like they were gaining on her. With her heart beating out of her chest, she ran with all that she had to the porch, skipped a few steps on the way up, flew through the screen door, dove inside, and turned around just in time to see the smiling face of the family dog out of breath after chasing her all that way. By the time I came along, the farm was a distant memory. But you know what they say, you can take the girl off of the farm. And so my mother always maintained a bit of farm girl, including that part of her that loved to garden later in life. And so all of those years later, when I was grown up and big enough, she would enlist my help in planting the small garden that she grew each spring and summer in the narrow plot of earth between our house and the little sidewalk that ran beside. Tomatoes, cucumbers, some flowers, and the like she would grow. On one of the first nice spring days, she would pull me from whatever I was doing at the time, usually watching television. She would put the mattock in my hand, and she'd put me to work. You see, it was my job to work the soil, to break it up and loosen it, and to make it workable for her. Some of those years were easier than others, and over the years I came to understand that soil a little bit more, what was good about it and what was bad. And so in my own small way, from my mother's teachings, I can relate to the story that Jesus tells. A man went out one day to sow seeds. Some fell on the path and were quickly gobbled up by the sparrows. Some landed amongst the rocks and sprang up quickly, but withered when the sun was high in the sky. Some fell among the thorns and were choked to death before they had a chance. And some landed on good soil, stretched their roots deep down, and they yielded much grain. In verse 18, Jesus does something he rarely does in the scriptures. He interprets his own parable. As noted preacher Fred Craddock points out, if we were to follow that interpretation this morning, we would talk a bit about the different ways people receive or don't receive the Word of God. We would rightly point out that some people are like the path, so hard of heart that they won't even let the Word of God in. They're generally good people, our friends, family members, co-workers. They just don't have the time of day for God, don't see the need nor the purpose. Too many other important things going on. Church on Sunday morning isn't even a thought for them. It's just the last day of the weekend before the grind begins again. Those are the path people. And then we would turn our attention to the rocky soil folk. When the seed springs up, there is much excitement. He's seen the light. She's joining the church. But then time passes and the sun rises. And maybe it's the realities of life, or maybe it's the realities of the gospel. God only knows. But all of a sudden, or perhaps gradually, the excitement dies, and we start to see them less and less. These are the shallow ones, the whatever feels good in the moment people. That mountaintop experience was incredible, but this valley stuff just isn't for me. I'm on to that next thing that will make me feel good. Don't worry, I'll send a postcard. But some of the seeds fell among the weeds. And we know the weedy types too, don't we? The ones with too many irons in the fire, too many things to do, the ones who really don't know how to say no, or maybe they don't want to. Oh, they come to church every once in a while, usually just to make an appearance, or when it's their turn to usher or greet or sing. Their faith, their church, it was a priority at one time, but other stuff has gotten in the way. Oh, I would have been there, but I had to take the kids to practice. Sorry I missed it, but my best girlfriend invited me. You almost feel sorry for the weedy seeds, because you just know that one day they're going to look back over the time that passed, and they're going to wonder where it all went. Perhaps regret not taking time to tend to their spirit in a real way, to connect to their God and to others. There's a little bit of fruit on these ones, but it's only a little. And then, of course, there's the good soil, the ones that amaze us, the genuine, truly humble servant Christians. They live in the same world as the path people and the rocky folk and the weedy ones. They have the same jobs, same number of kids, same friends, same hobbies. But there's something different about these ones. They love, they care, they go, they do, they give. And if you would marvel about them in their presence, they would blush in a very genuine way. How did they do it? Perhaps that's the greatest mystery of faith. And then in the end, there would be the obligatory admonition to work hard to be good soil people, to avoid the pitfalls of the path and the rocks and the weeds. Because this is who God wants, the good soil people. And we would all feel a little self-righteous because at least we are making an effort not to be like them. I mean, we're here, aren't we? So there must be at least some good soil in us. Of course, that's all if we were to follow the interpretation that Jesus gives. But what if, like with so many others of his parables, Jesus had said not a word about the meaning of this one, the parable of the sower? What if we were left to our own devices to discern its import, if all we had was the parable itself? Well, if that were the case, I might say, please, don't ever give up on anybody. The fact of the matter is that none of us knows for sure if there will be any growth. So let's be careful not to be selective when we are sowing the seeds of the gospel. And notice that in this story, the sower was not. He cast the seed on the path and over the rocks and amongst the weeds and on the plowed ground. Why would we do any less? The rain falls on the righteous and the wicked alike. None of this, I think I'll put a seed or two here. This looks like some good soil, but look over there. Lord knows no grain will grow there. No. Spread the seed. Every congregation in the world has about a dozen people who are a surprise to their own family. I never dreamed I would see the day he came to church on his own. You see, this is God's business, and the seeds are Jesus Christ himself. And when that is the case, No one knows what can or even will happen. Not you, not me, not anyone. And then I might also add to please stop thinking that success in the growth of the seed is up to you. Have you ever seen a farmer plant seed and then stand over it yelling, "Now come on, get up, grow!" It will grow in its own time with sun and water, or it won't. You do not have to beg it, blackmail it, or threaten it. You just have to sow it. It is God's seed, and the seed carries its future within its own bosom. It is the seed, and it will grow. Just plant it. And be prodigal in planting. Cast it anywhere and everywhere. No fences, no limits. Trust that seed. The gracious and good love of God for you and your family and your husband and your wife and your children. Trust that seed. And so it is that we gather in this place week after week. All kinds of soil we are. Path and rocks and weeds and even some good soil. Here to praise God and to thank God for that seed that is the Word of God. And we would love for everyone to join us every week. You don't have to put on anything. You don't have to trust your own personality. You don't have to trust your own gift of gab. Just do what you can to nurture that seed and then to spread some yourself. Because you see, this is not a place where you have to have it all together. Rather, this is a place where we can all come together and acknowledge in our most honest moments that we have all been the path and the rocks and the weeds. And on rare occasions, maybe just enough to keep us going, we've been the good soil. And sometimes, that is all in one day. All kinds of soil we are. All kinds. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.